Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today we have a guest speaker. His name is Michael O'Grady, and he's supposed to be calling in and called me directly on my phone number, and I don't see him calling back in. So let's see if we can do this by me calling him back and getting him on the show with me. Just not sure that you will be able to hear him. If he's talking to me directly. Okay.
Okay, let me 646-478-5418.
No. 5410.
Okay. Let me try that number. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, bud.
God. Okay, everyone. Let's
see if we get this thing working right. And he comes in. Because Michael O'Grady is the author of the bestseller Selling at Kitchen Table. And Michael wrote the book as a contractor for contractors who are motivated to understand the sales process of a deeper level. Well known in the contracting services industry for his high volume tickets and his record-breaking and tenacious selling style. Michael O'Grady is an accomplished sales manager, business owner, trainer, and contracting consultant. Okay. She's good. Okay. Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, hi. Good morning. How are you? I'm great.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
Hello?
Hi, I'm here. Hello, I'm here.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It sounds like you can't hear me. Hello. Can you hear me, Vivian? Hello.
Okay.
Let's see. Hello.
Hi, we got you now.
Hi, can
Hello,
you hear me?
Michael, yeah, this is DeVita. Yeah, my name is DeVita, and I'm the host of the show. And it's called Live Without Limits. And don't know what happened with that. Anyway, I've already introduced you as the author of your bestseller, Selling at the Kitchen Table. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what drew you to writing this book?
Well, the name of the book is Selling at the Kitchen Table, A Contractor's Guide to Closing the Deal. I've been in sales for well over 20 years, but specifically in the in-home service industry, you know, dealing with contractors. I had my own business. I was partners in a company for just about 10 years. And, really the mistakes made at the beginning and the lessons learned from that are what drew me to write the book. Have no business plan, no money, no ability to get funding to start a business, which are just giant mistakes. And as you can imagine, all that does is create nothing but turmoil and issues when trying to run a business. It was a plumbing, heating, air conditioning company, so it didn't take as long to mount a ton of debt and a great big payroll to match. So I was the, I had a business partner. I was the person that was going to be responsible for going out and generating leads and selling jobs, mainly replacement of furnaces and air conditioning systems and boilers, things like that. And it was nothing like getting a call on a Wednesday when payroll was on Friday from my business partner asking if what chance there was of me coming up with an extra $30,000 in the next 24 hours to be able to make payroll. So those are the kind of circumstances that I was working under or conditions I was working under. And which is not, ideal for a salesperson or a business owner. So it just searched me to look for answers, and that's what kind of started me on the pursuit of, all right, I have to figure out an ethical, honest way to sell while I also keep my head on straight and keep my goals and my vision and my purpose as my main focus while working in this atmosphere.
And I know that in today's marketplace, selling is the biggest thing that people really need to understand, because if you're going to look for a job, you're selling yourself. And because we really move back into entrepreneurship is where the job market is, I think people really need to understand how to build relationships as part of selling themselves their services. Things like that. Well, how would you suggest someone would go about doing that?
Well, I believe, you're born with two ears of reason, and you have to use them in proportion to one another. I think one of the key fundamentals, in life is being a great listener, and truly caring about what the other person is telling you. To build a great relationship, especially in the sales world, I think to let people buy the way they buy versus the way you want to sell them. And that's a key fundamental. I mean, you can learn that back in How to Win Friends and Influence People, written back in the 1930s, I believe, from Dale Carnegie. So one of the things I make sure that I focus on is what, I read a lot of books about personality types. One in particular is, People Smart by Tony Alessandro, where they get into the four different personality types. One is a dominant director that always has to be in charge. Another is an interacting socializer, which is, they're always the life of the party. Everything's fun. And then as you get into your steady relator, which is very analytical, has to get their multiple estimates and do their research. And then last is a cautious thinker, which, can overanalyze to the point of their, analysis, paralysis from analysis type scenario. And, you certainly have to realize that you're not going to deal with the dominant director the same way that you're going to deal with the steady relator. You're not going to deal with the interacting socializer the way that you're going to deal with the dominant director, and so on and so on. So you have to understand, how people make decisions and adjust the questions you ask when you ask them to their style.
That's it. I mean, and I'm familiar. Are you familiar with the DISC, the dominant influencing steadiness? Conscientiousness, and that's basically what you're saying. Because the conscientiousness is the person who has to know all the angles before he makes a decision, and that's what you're seeing in Obama.
Right.
Right. You know, and to me, I mean, it's like he's talking about creating jobs. The job market has totally changed. How are you going to go and create jobs that don't exist anymore?
Right.
And I think that's the big issue that people don't understand and why we've got such high unemployment, because they just don't understand how the job market has changed and what they can do to adapt to the new workplace. Now,
right.
You bring together sales and honesty, ethics, and integrity. Is that even possible?
Well, it better be. I grew up, you know, with the lessons of my grandparents about, you know, always one lesson I remember was always tell the truth, because you never have to remember the truth. And just understanding, you know, the definition of integrity, which is, you know, the way I understand it is what you do when nobody else is around. You know, what thoughts are you thinking? What actions are you taking? You know, only you know that. And I think that salespeople sometimes get this, you know, there's an image or maybe a bad rap of, you know, what's he going to sell me? What unethical things is he trying to sell me that I don't need? And, you know, I am so far the opposite of, you know, what you probably see as a salesperson. I'm kind of the anti-salesperson. I'd rather ask a lot of questions, do a lot of listening. You know, if something doesn't make sense for somebody, then you shouldn't try to sell it to them, even if they want it. You know, I'm a firm believer, you know, you have to have, you know, this comes from, you know, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, habit number 4, you know, seek win-win solutions. You know, it has to be win-win. You know, it has to be good for you. It has to be good for the customer, or it doesn't make sense. If you end up, you know, as an expert in your field, selling somebody something that they truly don't need, and you can see nothing but issues down the road, well, then shame on you. And that's going to come back to haunt you. And you have to have the honesty and the integrity in place to make those kind of decisions. And at the same time, you know, when you see that somebody's trying to make a decision on the other end, where they want something, they need it, and you have to re-educate, you know, find a way to make sure that there's something, perhaps a better solution, a different solution. But you have to go to that route too. But I've been in situations where I've, you know, walked away saying, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I'd love to help you, but, you know, I can't give you what you need. And I've had situations where people have done a complete 180 and end up, you know, purchasing things that they didn't even plan on. So you have to make sure you adjust your style to what the person's needs are.
Okay. And wouldn't you say that also when you're building long-term relationships, what's happening is someone is they may not buy from you today, but down the road they will find they have a need for it. And because you were honest with them and had integrity with them, that it will bring them back to you later on when they're ready to purchase something?
Oh, absolutely. I've had, you know, I've had people that are just, I try to always make sure I train my salespeople when I'm working with companies. Sometimes people they're always so focused on the quick sale today. And if it's not going to turn around in dollars today, you know, then they don't want to be bothered with it. And I think you certainly have to make, you know, judgments and prioritize your time. But a lot of those deeds, like in the contracting world, for example, you get a lot of folks that, you know, are just starting to do their research, you know, perhaps just purchased a home. They really don't know, you know, what the expectation is, whether it's a new roof, a new furnace, new air conditioning system. And they need somebody to come in and educate them. And once you educate them, they realize they're really not in a position financially to do anything. Well, I've had more over the years that I've gotten calls, you know, a year after I was there, 2 years after I was there, or even, you know, phone calls from referrals that say, you know what, you were over to my cousin's house a year ago, spent a lot of time helping them, and, you know, they certainly didn't need your service. But, you know, when we asked them if they knew anybody that could help us with our, you know, furnace or air conditioner, for example, they immediately said, you got to call Mike. You know, Mike's the person. He's honest. He'll tell you exactly the way it is. If he can help you, he'll help you. If he can, he can't. So, yeah, the 6 months later, a year later, it may even be beyond that. I think as you keep building those relationships, eventually that fill that funnel, that sales funnel with opportunities and people, and eventually those are going to come back to you.
And that's it. You know, and what people don't realize, like what I try to tell people is don't go look for the job in sales in a store today, because there's more, as many opportunities in sales because you've got a lot of solopreneurs that have products that they're selling, and they need people to help them sell those products. What would you suggest someone do in that situation?
Well, I think that networking is gigantic. I'm a firm believer in, I'm all about networking organizations. You know, one that I've been part of for years is, BNI, Business Network International. And it's basically, it's a structured networking organization. And I'm sure there's others out there similar to it, but they're structured to it. You know, you meet 7 o'clock in the morning for, an hour and a half where you're basically there for the purpose of, there's other folks that have nothing to do with what you do. So, for example, if I'm a plumbing, heating, air conditioning guy, there's somebody else in the group that sells, life insurance. There's somebody else that's a realtor. There's somebody else that is a physical fitness instructor, a chiropractor, you name it. So there's up to, 35 categories of careers. And you form relationships with these people, and you learn about them so that way you can be able to refer people to them, and in return they refer them to you. And in the end, you create this network of other salespeople that aren't necessarily working for you, but you're working, toward each other's best interest. And that creates another stream of leads into your funnel. And they're warm referrals. They're not, cold leads. They're warm referrals where people say, hey, Rich says that I should contact you. I just bought this house, and I need somebody to come in and talk to me about my furnace or air conditioner. Or I find someone that is trying to sell a house. So I go ahead and refer them to the realtor. So it's networking is the way to go, and also just making sure that you have your own. There's other networking events too. Just be careful. Sometimes you get networking events that start at 5 o'clock at night, or nothing but people, salespeople that are trying to sell themselves right then and there. So I believe in building relationships and having those relationships come back to you.
And I've noticed also that you've got your offline marketing in that sense, which would be your power call, your lead club, your chamber of commerce after hours meetings where people go passing out their business cards. And then you also have your online social networking, which you can see groups in Facebook, like Branch Out, Talent.me. It's becoming more of a mixed use. And what would you suggest to someone who needs to learn to use both as an avenue of helping them to build a business?
Well, I mean, it's something that's absolutely gigantic today is social media. And, I think if you're between, LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, you have to understand, the book is Selling at the Kitchen Table. That is linked to my website, how this all started, which is sales-psychology.com. Now, that's a free resource where you can become a subscriber. There are a boatload of useful articles on there on sales and psychology and personal development. And it's free resources. You can sign on and be a subscriber. It's sales-psychology.com. When you sign on, there's actually you get a free copy of my ebook, 7 Strategies to Achieving Your Greatest Sales and Business Goals. And just feel free to continue to get the newsletters. We'll get updates from us weekly. I think that's huge. Besides just the live networking events, you can meet so many other people out there in this world. Who'd have thought that Facebook would explode the way that it has? But it really is tremendous.
And it's interesting how it really just started out as an avenue for college students across the company to keep in touch with each other, and how it has moved, from being something for people to come and keep in touch with each other as an avenue for people to network, find a job. And companies, every corporation has a Facebook page today.
Yeah, we just got recently. I'm here in New Jersey, and we're right in the heart of the hurricane. Hurricane Irene just came through,
mm-hmm.
And it was just so interesting to me to sit there and one of the local news stations, which was tracking the storm and telling you, flood watches and all these things. All the people sitting up there, the hosts, the newscasters, They all had their laptops open, and they're all saying, just go to my Facebook spot, my Facebook page, and they're having correspondence with people. And it really was helpful because a lot of folks, you know, had damaged their homes here and didn't know what to expect from this storm. So having that kind of instant access is tremendous.
That's it. And people just don't realize how important it is. And I really think that if what you're seeing, even in what Obama is talking about, technology, is I don't think he's addressed the fact that a lot of the people who are out of work today are those that just don't know how to harness the technology and really use it as an avenue to generate income.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
How do we decide which leads take the highest priority?
Well, I'd love to live in a perfect world and say, you know, every lead is the best lead in the world, and they should all get equal time. But, you know, we have to be smart when we're in business. So, I mean, one of the things I've always learned is that you have to learn to track your numbers, you know, understand what your numbers need to be. So, for me, if I'm using a contracting company, you know, plumbing, heating, air conditioning business, and I'm doing marketing, I also have repeat clients and then referrals, you know, I found that my repeat clients, my referral customers, when it comes to the sales, close at a higher rate. They have a higher, you know, average ticket. You know, they're more profitable jobs. And even I use my, you know, and if you're in the in-home services industry, you'll have service technicians that go into homes to try to help folks too. And training your service technicians to, you know, properly educate, and then, you know, as a result, you know, generate leads for you. So those type of leads, you know, close higher, are more profitable, they have to take priority. It doesn't mean that you ignore the advertised, the marketed leads, the internet leads, but if you go ahead and you have structure to it, like for example, if it's, you know, 5 degrees outside and you have hundreds of calls with people with no heat, and the ones that are coming in, you sit there and you say, all right, you know, I'm going to get to these no heat calls that are repeat customers and referrals, you know, as a priority, and schedule the other ones out, or at least be able to refer them to another company if I had to. And the ones that are not as urgent, you know, schedule out in your schedule, you know, a few days later, a couple weeks later if you had to. But keep in constant contact. I think as long as you over-communicate with people, they'll understand. So, yeah, you have to have a logical way to go about your leads coming in. Make sure you understand what your closing rates are and which type of leads, your internet leads, your marketed leads, as opposed to your referral and repeat. And as a business owner, you want to get to those priority leads, those higher closing leads first. If, you know, sometimes what the best strategy, I train other companies to make sure that you have your, you know, sales force and the highest closers get the hot leads. You have to, you know, it's an expression, you know, feed the big dog. But if you have to give people a training ground, and maybe those training ground are all those advertised and marketed leads. And once they see they can, you know, sell some jobs and cut their teeth in those jobs, then you move them up to the referral leads and tech leads. But you have to understand your numbers, have to make sure that you're prioritizing.
Okay. You help people build more referrals into their business. Tell us the secret.
Well, I think the first thing is you know, treating people with, you know, honesty, integrity, and respect, you know, only giving them what they truly need and deserve, and making sure that your follow-up is there. Sometimes if you deal with a salesperson, the only time you meet them is the first time they sell the job, and then you never see any after the fact. So I'm a big believer in making sure that, you know, the experience they have from the get-go is a great one. You know, they understand the solution that you came up with is the right one for them. You're in contact with them throughout the process. You know, if it's a service that I have to have or a product, you're making sure that your follow-up is there during and after. You know, are you satisfied, not just from a customer service rep or a thank you card that you had pre-printed, but real live communication, you know, face-to-face as much as you can. Are you happy with this? Is there anything else I could do? You know, once that's been established, you know, I'm not a big hard, you know, I don't believe in okay, now give me 5 of your friends in writing that can use my services. But I am going to have conversations, make sure they have business cards, and talk about the fact that, you know what, if there is anyone in your family or your friends or work associates that can use my services, please refer them over to me. If there happens to be anybody now, that'd be great. But if there's not, just make sure that they know that I'm the person to call if they have any questions, concerns. Doesn't mean they may necessarily have to have a job that day, but at least you're an open line of communication to a new resource. And, follow up. I believe that's the key.
Okay. How can we make more money in less time without compromising our morals and standards?
Well, it kind of goes back to the prioritization. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I've taken, you know, habit number 3, first things first. You know, I've turned it into my own time management matrix. Stephen has it where he basically says that everything you do throughout your day, everything you do in life has to be linked to what your goals and your personal mission in life is. And the way he does that, he allows you to categorize it where, you know, I call it, level 1 are things that are important, urgent, you know, have to take, emergencies pop up, you know, urgent things, and they're linked directly to your goals. So those are a level 1 type priority. You know, and I'll make sure on my to-do list, they're labeled that way. Level 2 are things that are related to my goals and mission, but there's not a sense of urgency about them. I can plan a little bit more for them. You know, so that's something that would get the next step. And then level 3 are more the lines of, you know, they're important to others, but aren't necessarily attached to my goals. But I know just from a networking and marketing standpoint, I have to, you know, keep in touch with these people to get the word out there. And I'll address those as a 3rd level. So every activity I do throughout my day, I make sure it has a L1, L2, or L3 next to it. So that way I'm making sure that I'm prioritizing. You know, I'm putting my time where I need to. So that way, you know, whether it's, you know, your ability to coordinate your leads properly and generate more income that way. And the stuff that should go, you know, back and be scheduled for further out, you do that way. But you have to have a system to do it. You have to logically let the numbers work themselves out.
Okay, we're down to the last minute or so of the show. So where can we find out more about you and buy your book?
Well, I mentioned earlier, my website is www.sales-psychology.com. And anyone that signs on, it's a free resource right now. Become a subscriber and you'll get a free copy of the ebook, which is 7 Strategies to Achieving Your Greatest Sales and Business Goals. But the book, which is Selling at the Kitchen Table, A Contractor's Guide to Closing the Deal, is available on Amazon, or you can go right to the site, which is sellingatthekitchentable.com.
Okay. I want to thank you for calling in and being our guest on our show today. And I will be back in touch with you. And I want to let everyone that's been listening today, you can go to my website, and that website is the number 1 personalcareercoach.com.